I'm Jason.
And I'm Katrina.
And welcome to the Sipcast.
See what we did there?
Yeah, it's like a podcast, but related to itself.
And just like with relatives, sometimes things get a little inappropriate.
And racist.
Yeah, usually.
Not necessarily for children.
Or really adults.
Yeah, never mind. I'm gonna bail.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
I couldn't figure out how to pick up the phone.
You don't. You didn't. You just press a button. Are you physically holding a phone?
I am not.
Okay, well then you still didn't figure it out. And I think we're still figuring it out. I think this is us physically still figuring. How about that ringtone, huh? I'd rather listen to that. I don't know if it's updated again. I think Skype just updates itself. I haven't updated it for years, and it's all stupid and gay now.
It's all adorable and boopy.
Not that everything that's gay is necessarily stupid or vice versa, but right now Skype is gay and stupid and retarded.
Well, I'm trying to fix my sound condenser thing on my speaker, and this is a mess. This really is a mess.
You put the dents in condenser.
I sure do. I sure do.
Yeah, well, the facts are facts, or no, they aren't. Sorry, truth isn't truth. My mistake.
Facts aren't facts. Truth aren't truth.
This just out. Instead of in. So I just threw it out. This just out, and then I throw the papers out the window.
I know, I thought you were going to
Yeah, I just stand there and I riff for about 20 minutes. I mean, that's what, I think that's where Alex Jones got his idea for being Alex Jones. I think someone was like, here's the script, Alex. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll check this out real quick. Okay, Nazis, the Democrats are bad. But fuck this. Democrats are Nazis. They're the scum of the earth. They came down here from Satan, up from side. They came here from Liberalia, and they're here to take our babies and throw them over walls and sell them to Mexicans.
Liberalia.
I'm angry. No, wait, I'm happy. This is what I sound like when I'm happy. Turns into Rush Limbaugh at a certain point. I feel like those two are just
the same guy. I was going to say, that's kind of Rush Limbaugh-y. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like how my Rush Limbaugh and my Alex Jones sound the same, and I've got Burdonald Sandump. That's my Bernie Sanders and my Trump sound the same for some reason, because they couldn't be more different people, other than they're both old white guys, I guess. I mean, one of them could be black. If one of them could be black, it would help me.
It could help. And, guys, we don't have actual talent here, so they all may sound the same.
In terms of impressions, no, I am.
We are not trained, technically, in the art.
Well, potty trained.
Well, sometimes you are.
In the chart of potty training. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't always have to be. Most of the time, that happens outside, and that's appropriate, I was told.
Yeah, by that one guy. Okay. I just thought
the guy in the mirror that I saw. I had a protracted conversation with him. I was like, "Well, good day, sir. What are you doing? I am urinating. What a coincidence! So am I. Shall we urinate together? Yes, let's in harmony." And then, somehow you hear two people, but they're both my voices singing in harmony while peeing. That's when it gets weird.
We still haven't figured that part out.
When it gets weird.
And the guy
we haven't. We won't.
Very handsome. Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Obviously. Obviously. Like, sir, you are perhaps the most handsome man I have ever seen in my life. Why, thank you. I was thinking the same thing, and I just said the same thing, because we're the same person.
It's like, if you would permit me to say, it's like, well, yes, it's fine.
It's very good. It's very good.
It's very good. You know, on that earlier point a minute ago, thinking about potty training, you know who doesn't have to potty train their kids?
People without kids?
No. Fish and sharks. Oh. They just piss in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Isn't that just something to giggle about?
Yeah, well, on the flip side, those fish are in school their whole lives, so I don't want to be a fish.
It's a trade-off. Their whole lives.
Their whole lives. Well, no, you get a choice. You get to be a human and stop peeing everywhere and stop being in school, or you can be a fish and you can be in school and pee everywhere for your whole life.
Well, eventually, at human, you don't, like, you have to go to school, but then you get to stop. So, I mean, it's a bit of a catching point to your point.
Yeah, that's what
sorry.
I'm just saying that I think, basically, Republicans are the human fish. They just get to stay in school and pee all over everybody their whole lives. School being a metaphor for their strong party allegiance, and pee being a metaphor for urine.
Mm-hmm. And go to and stay in school, kids.
Fish kids.
Stay in school, fish kids.
Yeah, you fish sticks.
Yeah, that's what happens when you leave school. You turn into a fish stick.
Yeah,
because you left your protection of your school.
Fish show, dog. Fish show.
Stop.
That's what they would say. That's what they would say.
Oh yeah, that little fish hoe over there dancing on a fish pole.
I'm here to build bridges that go underwater, so they're not really bridges, they're just ramps. Into water.
Yep.
Someone will be backing their boat down my bridge. I'll be like, stop that! That's a bridge, not a ramp.
That is a bridge.
Can't you tell? If you could breathe water, you'd go down there and you'd be really embarrassed right now,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, you, wow. Woo!
Yeah. So, yeah, think about how I feel, and then multiply it by 100 because my emotions are way too strong.
Yeah, and they're heavier underwater.
For some reason, yeah.
It's counterintuitive. You're lighter, but your emotions are heavier.
yeah. Usually astronauts go underwater to simulate low gravity, but for some reason it works counter to me. It's like Ritalin or something. I got ADD underwater.
Yeah, all the extra emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a little more anxiety because you weren't necessarily made to breathe underwater, and that makes you anxious.
Yeah. I didn't bring any scuba gear, so that could be part of why I'm so anxious. A bunch of guys were getting suited up and putting on their helmets and stuff. I was like, you guys are gay. I'm just going down there. This is no big deal.
I build bridges.
I was down there building bridges, bro. You don't think I can breathe water?
Whoa,
man. Who do you think you're talking to here? The guy who builds regular bridges? No. Got that guy from Waterworld, Kevin Costner. Dude's down there building some bridges. He's the forefish. Okay. Foreman.
Got it.
Okay, there's
got
to be something else to talk about.
Oh, I thought that was a pretty solid start.
Yeah, but, you know, horses start out pretty solid until you beat them to death and then continue beating them. And then at that point, they're not so solid.
Is that what we're doing here?
That's what we did.
All right.
All right.
Oh, it's been too long. Sorry, guys. Okay, we're done.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
That still is too soon.
Too soon.
Well,
you know.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
I do know. Thank you.
Introductory segue? Okay, go ahead. After you.
No, I didn't have anything.
Oh, well, I was going to say what's not too soon. I was going to say what's not too soon is politics.
Politics. She is new to the house.
Yeah.
P-A-U-L-A. Last name, no, we get T-I-X. Politics.
Everyone got it. If they're listening to this, they got it. Or I hope so. Or if they didn't, then go away.
But I just want to make sure the spelling is correct. I get that they got the joke, maybe. But
okay, how else do you spell Paula?
Paula.
Or is there another...
Paolo. Paolo Tix.
Is it P apostrophe owl?
Yes.
Apostrophe A. Paola.
Yep. Okay, I've changed it. I want it to be like that now.
It's Paola, and then it's X-T-I-X-X-X space X. Is how you spell the last name. Paola Tix.
There's extra X's in there, just like have you noticed? President.
Well, no, have you noticed that there's this weird thing going on with with Republican types, and they've got two red X's on the side of their Twitter handles. It's like no one talks about it, but it's like the unspoken QAnon where all these people are obsessed about this, and now they're being trolled. A bunch of Democrat liberal types are going, yeah, QAnon, we're coming for you, conservatives. You better look out. Better watch out, QAnon. It's huge. It's coming for your families, especially your pets and your guns. But the X's next to people's Twitter handles, I don't know what it means, but if you see people supporting Trump now, especially bot style supporters, you'll see little X's in their Twitter handles, like iconic ones. And I don't know what they mean. I don't really care either.
Well,
I've stopped caring about, Nazis' opinions more or less, I guess is where I stand. I know it's a bold stance, but I will stand here. Alone, if I must. I will look. I will look to the future with hopeful anticipation and trust that I have not put my faith unduly in the shaken hands of humanity.
Sometimes listening to one side or the other, but never falling sideways or back.
Oh, I think we clicked at the same time because I heard your click when I clicked.
Yeah, but there's a delay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but there's a delay.
Probably.
You're just trying to steal my joy.
Hey, have you edited 140 plus Sibcast episodes together? Believe me, there's delays everywhere.
You're right.
It's the whole reason we basically we invent. I invented a format because of how shitty of an idea this is. Like, you can't just record local audio.
Oh my gosh.
States apart and then expect things to go right. They never have and they never will. Stop. Well, stop. You can keep trying, but stop expecting so much.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. I can see why you put it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can see it, and it incorporates very much with my lifestyle, why I put a lot of things off. But then I eventually get around to Sibcast because I do like the end result. Everything else.
Yeah.
That I put any effort into, I'm like, well, there's all that effort. And then you look back and it's like being a drop ceiling installer. You're like, ah, fuck my life. Will someone pay me so I feel better about this?
That was like, a great reference because I got that immediately. Yeah.
I just imagine those poor guys, you know. I hope that they're still out there installing them. But I'd be like, I want to do a skit someday where like some guy, you see some entrepreneurs come in and they're all happy. They're like hipsters. And they're like, all right, Chuck. This is our new office. Now, I know the ceiling's not so great, but that's why we hired you to come in here and install a drop ceiling. And he's like, no problem, fellas. I'm on the job. And then you see you do a montage of him, like, carefully measuring and cutting and piecing together. And then he stands back and he looks. And then you see the two hipsters walk up behind him. And then Chuck's like, God, I hate my life. And the two hipsters are like, you're fired. It's a perfectly installed drop ceiling. But that's the point. It's a drop ceiling. You did nothing with your life. I'm going to tear it down in 5 years and throw it in a dumpster, Chuck.
Right? Yeah, your product is junk eventually.
It's my trash. Your pride is my trash, Chuck. Get that through your thick skull.
I feel bad for this. Like, this is a hypothetical person, and I feel bad for him.
Hypothetically?
Yeah, I do. I really...
I actually feel bad for him, but hypothetically speaking, I feel terrible.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're talking about mundane jobs that need to be done, it's better than working in a factory, I suppose, because at least the setting's a little different, and you could, like, you could talk to people.
I don't know what to say about drop ceilings, because it does make a ceiling look better, but then afterward you're like, but that's not the way to do things.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, let's just cover it up and then lose some of your real estate and then just, you know, live in a smaller room that's a lie. And then above it is just like festering the thoughts of the past that are just like, hey, you know what? You half-assed this job, you son of a bitch. Good luck.
There may be mold up here, but you won't know for a while.
There's a bunch of rats taking shits above your head. Are you happy about that? Is this where you saw yourself when you were 30? Chuck?
There was a...
It's a different Chuck.
There's like a...
Charles is a very popular name.
No, Charles. Well, Charles is in charge. Well, there's a...
In charge of the drop ceiling.
What is it? Is it Tumblr? What is when people take a screenshot of a conversation and there's like little lines to like different conversation, but all the lines are on the left, the vertical lines? Is that Tumblr?
No.
What is that?
That's Reddit.
Is it?
I don't know how to use Reddit.
There's some funny conversation threads. Like, someone will post one thing and then hilarious people add to it, but it's all in one, like,
line. I like to watch kind of the growth of the interaction on a place like Reddit or Tumblr or Instagram, where I know from a usability standpoint that these platforms are not optimized. Like, they're all their own kind of ideas about social networking.
Right,
but then you see all the commenters and the users really start to move in. It's like if someone told you that giant hats were the way that people, like, you should live in a thing that looks like a big ball cap, mm-hmm. and that's the way houses should be shaped, people would just start to move into gigantic ball caps, and that's what houses would look like. And then it'd be like, yep, you want to come over to my cap and, you know, hang out?
Yeah.
Like, because they would just move into this paradigm, and that's what's happening in these social networks. It seems like it's supposed to be normal that these people are interacting this way, but it's a, I look at it as a deficient interaction, and these people moving into it.
Yeah, but they settle for it. Yeah.
Well, they settle for it, and they develop these kind of inconsistent and incoherent communication protocols that I don't understand, and I'm not trying to. I don't feel guilty about not knowing what the hell is going on with not only young people, but old people acting young, because 20 is the new 80, and 40 is the new 30, and apparently we're listening to young people, and old people feel young, and so we should listen to old people who feel young, who are old people, actually.
You're
or something.
Still
I don't
old.
Know.
Well, pretty sure, I see what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Oh, it does? Oh.
Yeah, it actually kind of does.
Good
because,
to hear.
Yeah, good to hear.
That's great news.
Well, what I was going to say about the things that got us to the things is there's one of those subsets somewhere. There's a picture, somewhat you read it, and it says, you know, our teacher told us to take a test and left the room. And then they look up, and someone had snapped a picture of the teacher in the recessed ceiling tiles with one missing and like looking to see if anyone's cheating. They're like in the ceiling.
Teachers
so
don't really
teachers.
Care that much.
I know. Well, this teacher did.
That's a lie.
Some do. Some do.
Yeah. I don't think that that sneaky teachers or dishonest teachers care that much. I think that if you're a teacher who cares, you get up in their grill and you shake them around like in Dangerous Minds. You're like, hey, I see potential in you. Even if you don't see it yourself, I'm here to motivate you with tough love. I'm going to make you see the future whether you like it or not.
Thank
Confront
you, Michelle.
Confront that shit.
Thank you, Michelle Pfeiffer. That's you. You sounded just like her.
I know. That's my Michelle Pfeiffer impression. Yo, dog, what's up with these less than ideal scores? Are you not applying yourself properly? I see potential in you. Dangerous.
Happened, yeah.
Dangerous Minds.
Wow, those minds.
I'm kind of watching, I'm in the middle of a similar movie with Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx where Downey Jr. plays Michelle Pfeiffer and he's trying to rehab Jamie Foxx's character who, again, how many instruments is Jamie Foxx going to pretend to learn how to play?
I don't know. He can sing.
He can sing, but he like half learned the piano to play Ray. And this movie, his character is a cellist with kind of some mental disorders because he's a brilliant cellist, but he doesn't work so good with people do, and so.
Wait,
but then you can tell.
What is this movie called?
You can tell he's. I'll leave it a seat. No, let me check it out. It's over here. It's called the Soloist. You find it yourself if you just search for Jamie Foxx. And Robert Downey Jr., how many movies have those two starred?
First of all, I'm not going to go that far, and I'm probably going to forget after this. And secondly, you're watching it. You should have that on recall. My goodness. Oh, what an attitude.
Barely watching it.
I'm barely.
It's a good movie, though. Yeah. No, it's like Dangerous Cellists. Dangerous Orchestra. It's like, I'm here to influence you, dog. I think you have potential as a musician, and I think you're throwing away your talents being criminally insane. Well, not criminally, but socially insane.
Like, they play, like, the orchestra plays, like, Jaws music to keep the danger level high. Like, the... Da-da, like
I don't
thing.
Think you could have... I don't think there's a more boring song for an orchestra to play, but sure, yeah.
It's like, hey, guys. I was thinking more of intensity.
I'd like to see them halfway through the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. They all turn the page. It's like, I can't memorize this shit. I can't memorize anything. I'm a musician, not a damn... memorization person, name for that.
Memorization person. Well, actually, two of the very good musicians in my life, Sarah and her son Grady, they memorize everything. They memorize their violin, their fiddle, their piano. They memorize everything. Like Grady will just sit down and be like, "Hey, Katrina, I learned this yesterday," and he starts playing it, and I'm like, "Where's the music?" And Sarah's like,
I feel like,
it's in his head. I'm like,
no, I got to be honest. This might be we might be touching on something here. I feel like that's a reason. That might be one reason. I mean, I know that orchestras are kind of, it's like 30, 40 people. You got to get together. That's kind of inconvenient too.
Yeah, it's a
but
big group.
Part of it is they just don't even bother memorizing their music. And it's like, what the hell, guys? Like, I know that, like, this stuff's pretty complicated, but I've seen, check out, Periphery. Periphery is a gent band, and they write music that's as complicated or more complicated than any score that's ever been put together. And I realize they're only playing their songs, but those are really complicated songs. If those guys can memorize that and play it, I want to start seeing some more memorization from classical musicians. This is a cop out. I feel like it's like the backflip on the motorcycle. No one knew that you could backflip on a motorcycle without sheet music until that one guy did
it. Without sheet music?
Yeah, he didn't need sheet music to do that backflip on the motorcycle. There's a lot of people who do a lot of things from rote memory without the aid of sheet music. I mean, there's guys out there building bridges into the ocean.
Into the ocean.
There's guys out there assembling electric cars. Wait, they probably have some version of sheet music. I just remember blueprints exist. You know what?
Never mind.
I don't have a point. I'm abandoning this point. It's like, I would rather be pointless than have this point.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I wish more people thought that way, actually. They're like, no, I'm going to save this one. And then it just gets worse.
Just get out of the point and walk now.
And then Danny's your president.
It's like, it's going to take you longer to get where you're going, but at least you'll have some dignity left. But not like right now. I mean, we joke, but we also make jokes. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Also, we are in a political upheaval right now. Like, there's a lot of people who keep saying, or who keep wondering when will be the advent, or when will be the event horizon of a World War III. I don't understand why people don't understand that it's already started. We've already described a lot of...
They're also out there, like, looking. Huh?
They're all looking for... But the World War III has started. I don't think people realize. I think in history, like, mark this day. Mark this episode.
Day in history. We announce the official beginning, post-haste, to the Third World War. Ground troops are already on the Twitters and the Instagrams, trolling incessantly, machine-gunning trolls.
You gotta have this. Yeah, I was gonna say, you gotta have, like, the sound effects and, like, the siren. The...
Yeah. Yes.
Right now.
The Messerschmitts are on their way.
Wait,
why am I laughing? This isn't as... I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny.
Because jokes... look at it. We've been attacked by Russia. There is currently a war being waged of information. Like, it's the information age. Mm-hmm. So the conflicts will be over information.
Oh.
Truth, information, disinformation are all weapons, and they're all being used on the virtual ground right now. It's happening now. I can't believe how dumb everyone is that they're still sitting here looking around for an old-fashioned World War III. This is World War III. We're in the beginning of it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've been saying that for a dang year or so, and now I'm officially putting it on the Sibcast so that we can look back at... So that the binary forward-facing eye-hole aliens can look back and try to reinterpret our weird mouth sounds and eye shapes into some sort of semblance of logic.
Our eye shapes.
Yeah.
As long as we have it recorded, hopefully it doesn't get lost in the information.
Mm-hmm. Or hopefully everything gets lost. You know, we need to reset this matrix.
Ooh, yeah.
This is a bunk matrix.
Yeah, this one's
sucks.
A dud.
This is a dud. So stop.
What did politics say? What did she say?
She said she's sleepy. And she didn't say much after that. I think this is not a great time for politics.
It's not a great time. She's on a lot of downers right now.
I didn't get a lot of useful information out of politics. just a lot of nonsense babbling and then snoring sounds and then what I hope was a fart. Just a fart. It didn't. It sounded like TMI to me, really.
Mm-hmm.
So. Speaking of, like, for example, dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
But dumb things that I think. I feel like all of our all of our political conversations and disagreements at the very least could be spiced up. I mean, if we're going to be stupid, let's be blatantly stupid, because I'm tired of this waffling. I'm tired of all these Trump supporters being really, really stupid, insisting that they're not, and then being kind of normalized slowly by everyone trying to figure out why the hell the stupid shit isn't been ejected
like
yet.
Yeah, allowing it, yeah.
This retardo core. So what I would, So what I would say is that let's go either back to decency or just full on stupid. Border wall, for example. Ah. I haven't heard a lot of logical arguments with regard to migratory animals. Okay, so. Because, you know, I feel like that's a consideration. When I guarantee you that when
so
they're building
these animals don't have
when
their papers. Yeah.
Well, when they're designing their border walls, they will have environmental specialists and ecologists come in. Definitely some sternly worded letters, really nerdy ones, talking about, you know, population density and herd immunity and all that. And they're talking about, hey, there's animals who migrate across that border all the time. You got to put some holes in those things so that, like, small enough for a fox, or but not big enough for a Mexican.
For a Mexican people versus
a Mexican fox. But my argument would be, well, if Mexicans are inferior, then so are Mexican animals, okay? Okay? So we've stumbled across something here. I feel like, screw it. Keep the Mexican foxes and keep all the Mexican rabbits and snakes. Keep them in Mexico.
Yeah, all those Mexican foxes taking our jobs.
You think I want a chupacabra up here taking all my jobs?
Yeah.
Taking the jobs of the Yeti? You think you want to get like a trench coat full of chupacabras up here stealing the Yeti's job? Screw that. This is America.
Well, the headline that really perplexed me the other day, and it was so funny because I guess...
Mexican coyotes coming up here. Hang on a second. Stumbled across something here.
Well,
the wall higher. Keep the birds out. Keep the birds out.
Sorry, I don't want those Mexa birds in here, you know?
No. Those birdsicans, Mexa birds, Mexa fowl, fowls, cats, bird.
it's all okay. That, the way you just said sounded like bird poop.
Nope.
Okay, so the whole... very unfortunate finding of the body of Molly Tibbetts.
You mean the very unfortunate politicization. The unfortunate Pilates of Molly Tibbetts.
That they literally said killed by an illegal immigrant in the very first article out, and then later like, hold on. Maybe we're wrong, but the
no legal
immigrant,
legal and illegal. There's no difference. It doesn't change it that it's a legal immigrant. Like right now, that's where Trump supporters are. Like this legal and illegal. They just don't like immigrants. So when they downgraded it to legal, it was still just as bad, which is sad. But you know what's also sad is I've literally been on Twitter today, reprimanding. I don't know. That sounds too official. Giving a piece of my mind to a couple of Democratic commentators, because they're doing the same thing. It's so blatantly stupid. Like, this is how normalized and desensitized even rational people are in this Trump environment. They're literally like poker chips or playing cards. They're taking out other white people who were killed by white people or cops who the Republicans aren't talking about. But it's like, do you think those people's families appreciate it any more than Molly Tibbetts? How about we just stop saying people's names who were murdered? We have these things called facts and statistics and history. How about we reference statistical data that has relevance to the conversation rather than anecdotal, pleasantries? It's stupid. It pisses me off. I see it coming from the left now too, and it's like, you have to be better. You can't just keep sinking immediately down to these stupid people's level. It gives them fodder to call you out. Like, they don't see their behavior this way, but when you act the way they act, they see it, and then they project it on you even more.
Oh yeah, because so, there's no way they're going to turn around and see it on themselves. Absolutely
no. The projectionists, it's almost like they can only see themselves in other people, in the worst characteristics of other people. So if you give them ammo, which is what that does, and then there's a lot of comparisons going on. Like, I saw someone on Twitter, a commentator said that Trump paying off Daniels and McDougal to keep paying for their silence before the election. If he had physically bound and gagged them, then we'd be talking about it, but we're not. But it's he said it's just as bad. He literally a liberal, supposedly forward-thinking person said that paying someone and them accepting the payment on a contract for their silence is the same as abducting them and holding them hostage. We cannot have that kind of hyperbole in our conversation because it doesn't help. They're just elevating the left side of the conversation to the same hysteric pitch as the right, and that's not. We're just gonna fly off the handle at this rate. Like I'm kind of like, just the media, or we have. Well, we're gonna. There's gonna be no return. Just commentators, news people, pundits, everyone, without even realizing it, they're normalizing it based on their commentary. It's the wrong. It's like the same.
It all started with entertaining the crazy, like calling out and addressing the crazy, like what you and I said like last year or something. It's like, don't entertain the crazy.
Literally. Well, to reiterate, I think it was. It might have been the last episode of this of the Sibcast that we cobbled together where. I had formulated the picture, the analogy. I mean, they're called trolls for a reason. And the whole reason that they're a troll is because it was a bridge troll.
Yeah.
And the bridge trolls of lore would come up, and theoretically they'd come up from underneath the bridge, stop you, and ask you some riddles, and basically waste your time. There are no answers to their riddles.
Right, like we said, you just go around. Yep.
You just go around. And that's what I'm disappointed in those myths, because that was never... Like, I feel, you know, it's weird, but it might be, like, just the idea of troll, just as a mythical concept in the ether, and then it got formalized, or it got formulated into this bridge troll myth, in which every single story of a bridge troll involves the hero or heroine being stopped, and then the bridge troll just taking some of their time out. And never have I ever read an instance where the person just walked right through the troll and the troll had no power at all. And that's what we're dealing with here. And none
of
no one's been taught to do that. If we had learned that, if we had hindsight's 2020, but if we had seen this election cycle coming, maybe we could have prepared ourselves. And we should now. We need to start teaching people to be selective about who they engage with, because all a troll is engagement. Once you engage them, they've won.
Yeah, and with the power of the internet and people who say that they have a voice, all it takes is one person commenting, right? Then all of a sudden, they're like, I have a platform, and I've created a mini little platform, and it's just going to go off, and then other people say things, but nobody knows how to walk away. I mean, I do, and I love walking away. It's very peaceful.
And there's no single person who's immune from it. I've seen Elon Musk strike back at trolls. I was listening to an episode of Joe Rogan yesterday. He had Neil deGrasse Tyson on, and Joe had to even check Tyson because Tyson was talking about all the negativity in his Twitter feed, and Joe was like, dude, you've got millions of followers. You read like 20 negative comments. Ignore them. And Neil deGrasse Tyson is a genius. He's a very smart guy. Very charismatic. He's got basically all the pieces that you want for a person. Very confident, very very agreeable and genial. Educated, smart. He's always thinking forward. And even he falls into the trap of looking for the negative. But that's actually a positive thing. It's the reason human society has advanced
humans,
so far.
Yeah, exactly.
We look for things that aren't good enough, and we make them better. But it kind of works against us in this way. So trolls are kind of a response. The response to trolls is kind of a response within people to being responsive to that negativity. But we need to start listening to women more, basically. This is why our society is starting to become more maternal, because guys, our compartmentalization has worked so far to get us through the storm.
Exactly.
But now that we're here and we're civil, guys need to shut the fuck up and start listening to women. That's the whole point with 100%. The women's liberation and suffrage and all that. It's time to move into a more maternalistic society that cares more about the future than dominance.
And it's funny, that completely falls in line with, I was watching a piece the other day, and it was on a show, and they're talking about, you know, women who are changing things. So they, instead of an influencer, they say...
Like diapers, and they're changing out the what's in the oven.
It's not like that. Now listen. Anyway.
They're changing out their tampons.
I love how you got such a giggle out of that.
I love that it's right after all the women's empowerment I just diatribed on, and then I just instantly flip back over to ripping on them.
Yeah, you're the sweetest. Anyway.
Oh, it's pretty sweet. I agree. High five.
That's pretty sick.
Nice.
It's Anyway, they say instead of influencer,
cycle, it's totally
they say,
sack.
I'm talking now. They say influence her. Okay, so they had this lady who has been deemed, she's a high-level, high-power attorney.
Did you just take the word influencer and turn it into a feminist word? Is that what we're doing?
It was just her. For a piece, and it was adorable. Let me finish. Thank you.
I don't know about that.
She's a high-power attorney, high-level, amazing, and she, obviously in a men's world, but she's called the meanest woman alive. And they had her on the show, and talking about, she's like, I totally own my name. She goes, I'm not a mean person. Anyone who knows me says, well, you seem so nice. And she's like, I am nice. I'm nice to my family, my grandkids. I'm very sweet. She's like, when I'm in the courtroom, I mean business, and I have to, you know.
She means business. She doesn't nice business. I like to nice business. Mm-hmm.
She asserts herself in such a way, and then if someone crosses her client, then she becomes very mean. She's like, I will strike. But she's been very successful. But what she's talking about, she said one of the top things now that is absolutely changing, because there's a lot of things that you have to do. She said, you don't try to be like the man, and you don't try to be a version of a man. You just be the woman. Be you. That's the gifts that you have. She said, one of the biggest things that they're looking for now in society that is shifting things is emotional intelligence. She said emotional intelligence is what's literally changing the nation and changing things. It's a very small thing, but it can and will change everything. Well, she said there are actually 12 characteristics to emotional intelligence, and women, most women naturally have 11 of those 12, just being women. And so again, bringing in like what you talk about as a broader term being maternal, you know.
Broader term, I get it.
Broad.
Them broads. broads with their terms.
Anyway.
Hey.
Hey.
Why don't you go ahead. Hey, broad, why don't you go ahead and carry this baby to term for me here? I got some work to do.
Hey, chick.
Hey. Hey, legs. Why don't you use them to go carry this over there to term? Hey.
Wait, why don't you walk over there so I can watch you walk away?
Hey.
Hey. Anyway. The whole thing that she said was really, really impressive, and I forget what her name is, but I saved her book in my Amazon cart, save for later. It was like Busting Glass and Kicking Ass or something like that. It was pretty cool. Anyway, I'm going to read it. It's just really cool, because it is, you're right, because we can be just as strong, but we need that extra touch, that extra, because yeah, you're right.
Well,
it has to be a blend.
This is where... I mean, feminism was a shaky step, just like Black Lives Matter is a shaky step, and a lot of the first steps are shaky steps. Like, feminism in the 1900s was pretty shaky, but it was a step in the right direction. But I think the mistake they made was trying to turn women into men and trying to put down men and trying to make it like,
oh my gosh,
women were
putting
superior
down men
or
was the thing that made me so angry. I was like, I if that's what you're going to do, then I'm not going to claim or label myself as a feminist, because you don't have to put men, like, I'm sitting here raising boys. I have more boys than I have girls in my family, even though I'm a female myself. And I'm sitting here saying, I'm not going to say that I can do better by saying that my sons can't. They can, and so can I, and so can my daughter. Like, it literally can be a beautiful merriment of ideas and actions and forward progress.
If
it
you
doesn't
think
have
about
to be
it,
one or the other or in competition.
No, if you think about it, it's the same thing that racists do. They put down other societies or other cultures
and
to make themselves
own,
feel like they've got a chance. So it's the same mistake that racists did. I'm not saying that feminists are racist, but they're making some of the same. Well, it's the same
it's
way.
It's
just
extreme. It's an extreme, regardless of what the
vegetarians. Vegetarians are making the same mistake that meat eaters did when meat eaters say that vegetables don't or that animals don't have feelings, so they'll eat them. Lots of vegetarians are just flippantly saying vegetables don't have feelings and they're not alive, so I'm just going to eat them. It's like, you might want to check into that a little bit more, because you don't know that. And no,
science,
I got a couple.
Actually, is saying
I mean, before we move on, I wrote a couple notes down while you were talking there. I just think that the thing about compartmentalization, or kind of the way that men think, that's good, is it provides it's a good survival mode. It provides and we have kind of there's a long-term version of that too. But I think that when you start talking about long-term, I do believe that emotional intelligence provides a more accurate insight to, so because it's not like people do the most rational thing. Oftentimes in large groups, we do what we feel is right. And I feel like that's where emotionality comes into play. Like on a street level,
right,
survival is key.
But
if you're,
yeah.
But if you're talking about a city, you have to be forethoughtful and you have to be just genuine. And
right.
I think that male reasoning breaks down at that level. It's just not designed to, you can't stack that many tiny little pieces together to get a whole big thing. You have to have someone who understands the whole thing. And I think at a certain point, I think that that's the job. Like, women are just better at considering a lot of different people's positions in the world than men.
Absolutely.
Men, compartmentalization
making,
breaks
like,
down.
Exactly, yeah. But that's where, like, I mean, even just in my marriage, it's the same thing. Like, my husband, you know, Anthony will come in and he'll say something that can be very straightforward. And then I come in with insight where I'm, like, thinking forward, putting all the pieces together. And then I'm not trying to, like, take over his, and he's not trying to take over mine. We just find a middle ground of understanding, and that is the ability. But the ability to be able to judge those around you and to basically, I mean, everywhere you go, you need to read the room. That's emotional intelligence. Like, figure out what's going on around you, so don't just come in blazing and saying, this is where we are, this is what we're doing. It's like, okay, hold on.
Well, read the emotionality of the room, because guys do read the room, but they read it in their own way. You know,
yeah.
You have to get a feel for it. But at the same time, there are people out there on both sides who don't get it. So it's not. It's aside from anecdotes, this is just a statistical thing. Women, there are examples of society where females. I mean, the social structures are just way more beneficial to the propagation of humans right now. We're just punching ourselves in the dick, almost literally. It's a bunch of dudes just just suppressing people and being angry and using this masculine energy to ill effect. It's not helping us. Also, before I forget, mean people, they're just doing their job. You said that this lady was the mean lawyer. Mean and bully and asshole and bitch and those terms are. This is where, again, feminism didn't do women any favors by coddling them and saying, oh, you want to get ahead in the world, someone's calling you a bitch, go ahead and cry and whine publicly. It's like, no, guys get called asshole too. People who do their jobs and who demand more from people are not liked. Because
exactly.
Most people
want to get by.
They want to get by doing as little as possible.
The easy
way out. I've heard it so many places. Every place that I've ever worked, there's always a contingent of losers who hate the boss and who talk shit about authority because they're losers. So get over it. Just do your job. There's going to be a bunch of stupid people who are going to call you an asshole, bitch, hole, ass.
Asshole, bitch, hole.
Asshole, bitch, hole, ass. And I feel like that was it. Again, that's where feminism misstepped, because when powerful women started to be called names, they asked people to stop calling them names and stop being mean.
Oh, yeah. But that's like stopping and paying attention, you know, to people who aren't listening anyway, like you said, are the losers. And it's like, why are we paying them any attention just like we would or wouldn't with trolls? Yeah. Don't pay them any mind. They're not, you know, if they're not going to listen, like, try. But if they're not going to listen, then they're not important at this time.
Well, you know what? I take it back. It wasn't necessarily a mistake, but it's that first and second shaky steps that feminism took. Where I guess if you step into a boxing ring and you don't know what boxing is, but you want to be a boxer for some reason, the first few times you get your bell rung, you're going to be a little bit upset, and you might voice it as such. But I think that after a few rounds, you figure out what the game is and you start playing. So I have faith that women, especially with how many women are entering politics, I think that we're on the right track. It's just a matter of if the tipping point is within reach. If we can't get enough good, honest, multicultural people into this, what is supposed to be a melting pot of a country, into its government to fix this, we're just going to fall right back into hateful white supremacy, which is exactly what the GOP is espousing. They are still trying to couch it in civil terms, but everything that they say, and now that they're decrying legal immigrants, means that they just basically want white people to own America, white Christian people to own America. They don't like all these darkies coming in, and they were trying to obfuscate their opinions until recently. Now Trump has just fully empowered them to be the racist bigots that they always wanted to be. You'll see Laura Ingraham on TV saying, no more immigrants. Get out, immigrants. We like white people. Essentially. I'm paraphrasing, but it's not too many. No, it's not too many shades off. I'm serious. Go check it out.
Oh, I know. I have this one. Chris Rock posted a picture. from the actual like room where all the people are talking for the government. And says, breaking news, female and black unemployment reaches 100% at the White House. And showing a picture, they're all white. Every single person. Like, they got rid of everybody.
Nope.
And it's like, oh, you don't see what they're doing there? There's no differences of opinion. Is everybody agreeing with everyone? Because nobody else can be trusted. I'm sending it to you now. But it's just that's not sending a message to anyone. And people are just like, but they're not racist. Trump, it's like,
Trump's not a racist. He's just a white guy who principally likes and does business with other white people primarily. But he's not a racist. I'll tell you that much.
My favorite is when people who are like, give me examples of how he's racist. That's my favorite one.
Well, that's every single thing. Like, you'll say something that's blatantly obvious about Trump and their response, and this is what short circuits most rational people's minds, is they'll say, give me one example. And you're like, and then your mind just explodes because you just kind of, your eyes roll back in your head and you have a near-death experience where you just see like hundreds of examples in your head and you're like, and then you just wake up 5 hours later in your bed with a damp towel on your head.
And, that's exactly.
And you're just like, how did this happen? I must be a very responsible blackout artist.
Oh my God, it's so true. It literally, like, you're just so like, you're silenced by the ignorance right in front of your face. It is alarming.
It's almost, I think it's a purposeful tactic. I don't think it's Trump supporters gleaned it from Russians or bots because there's no really differentiating, because Trump supporters imprint their talking points so transparently that you can't tell the difference between a Trump supporter, a Russian, and a bot. They all say the same things. Yeah. So I don't know if these people really believe it, but definitely the Russians are doing it to screw with us. It's a diversion tactic where you could be like, basically, you could just say something as simple as, the sky during the day when it's not cloudy takes on a blue hue, and then they'll just say, show me one example of that. And then it's just like, what do you do? You could go outside and point at the sky. You could send a picture of yourself, of your face, and a newspaper in the sky being blue behind you, and they would just say fake news. That's what
you
we're dealing with.
You edited it. That's Photoshop.
No, they don't even know what Photoshop is anymore. I haven't heard anyone say Photoshop for 5 years. They just think that things aren't real or whatever they believe is the truth. It's so dumb.
When you can actually feel
this pile of shit.
Well, I know. I was watching all the coverage yesterday because remember we were going to Civcast on Tuesday and then all the stuff went down Tuesday. And then so I was paying attention to the news the last couple of days.
We should just tag Manafort and Cohen in there just so we get the tags. Those guys, 16 guilty counts in between them and 10 more coming.
Tag.
And Cohen also, I think, has been subpoenaed for the Trump. Trump Tower, the Trump, I don't know, property company, all the Trumps are going down. I mean, if they're not already incriminated enough, just give it another month or two. They're about to be buried in criminal charges, the whole family. It's going to be hilarious and sad.
I like Michael Cohen's tweet that got taken down.
What was that?
Well, Michael Cohen said on the 19th of December, 2015... he said, at Hillary Clinton, when you go to prison for defrauding America and perjury, your room and board will be free. And then someone commented, this tweet did not age well.
Michael Cohen, all of them, Giuliani, Trump, Cohen, they've all got 100 tweets like that. They were so misguidedly pompous for the last 2 years. They were just puffed up by Trump's salesmanship that they believed that, and then they sold the whole thing to all the dumb people in the world who believe dumb things, and now we've got this whole alt-verse just sort of coexisting alongside reality, where on Fox they don't report the way that the Cohen trial was he the one who had 18 against him, or I forget which one pleaded guilty and which one was convicted of 8. It's kind of ironic.
Right.
I think,
they're both bad guys.
In any event, the one who was charged with 18 counts and 10 were a mistrial, they just reported, like, on Fox it said, or Fox News, is 10 counts are a mistrial. They didn't say anything about the 8 guilty counts. The fact that mistrial counts can be retried. That's why it's a mistrial. They just didn't do a good job on. And it came out later that there was only one holdout juror who caused those other 10 counts to go to mistrial.
Oh,
just
that's
one juror.
So funny.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, like, I walk in to get my tires done here where I live, and that Fox News is on. I walk into a cafe, and Fox News is on. I walk into the liquor store, and Fox News is on. It's just like, oh.
I would say you need to do that thing where people say if they walk into an establishment and Fox News is on, then they'll boycott it, but then you would have nowhere to go.
I would have nowhere to go here.
and then you come home, and Fox News is on. You're like, God, son of a...
I can't go home.
I'll be out in the yard.
Yeah.
And then you go in the yard and there's a blimp with Fox News on it flying around. It's like, ah!
I go out to the garage and Harriet's watching it. I'm like, how did you get a TV?
What?
But she's crafty.
Hell?
She probably sold her soul for a TV. Mm. I didn't know she was a Republican until, I went out there, you know.
Yeah.
You just don't know. They're all lurking.
Must be one of those Mexican rabbits.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so...
Is that a rabbit or a duck?
What?
That creature you just listed.
Harriet is the cat.
Oh, close enough. It's kind of like in between
enough.
A rabbit. It's kind of like a cat is in between a rabbit and a duck. Good enough.
She does quack and she has fur, so pretty much.
Duck.
But it's funny. They were debating yesterday. Will this lead anywhere?
Be.
And people are like, well, the experts say... That as of right, there was plenty to impeach Clinton, and he didn't get impeached because he had favor with the voters. Like, his approval rating was, like, steadily at, like, 60-70%, even after the whole, grounds for impeachment. And they said Trump has even less. He's only at, like, 43 or 46% approval, so that could be different. But they still are, like, there still may not be enough. Then that's where my brain shuts down. And I'm like, how many bad things and illegal things, like everyone's getting caught up in the nomenclature or the exact like words of like, well, did he like actually do this? But is it quite enough? But then he said he didn't know about it. So we trust him. So guys, let's move on. Because then it comes down to the power of the House and like, how many representatives and are there enough Democrats to turn? And if there aren't and they have their interests and now they have this new $850 billion spending packet and like they're all getting themselves taken care of. So why would they flip? Why would anyone flip? And that worries me.
I don't know if you could. It's pretty impressive watching someone do a flip. Oh, you mean in the politically speaking?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think that people are taking this seriously enough yet. I think that the fact that we're still entertaining these people, I think it's what it, like the way I see it, one way or another. If all things were at least trying to move toward a cogent playing out of history, it would be the GOP have proven themselves. The entire party that are supposed to keep themselves accountable have proven themselves to be entirely incapable of fulfilling their obligations, public obligations.
And why do we even need representatives anymore? We have communication. We don't have horses that send our messages.
So these people, they need to be gotten rid of. It's not a matter of impeachment. It's a matter of ejecting a poison. These people are poisoning our politics.
So our watering hole.
And if you look at the left is also conveniently fractured. So, hey, look at this. I don't know if I've said the analogy. All of our politics are shifted right. That's why Donald Trump seems Republican, why Hillary Clinton seems Democratic, and why Bernie Sanders seems like an extreme lefty. And additionally, we just need to start looking at the Democratic Party as the new politics because they're fractured enough where you've got All the Democratic Party is doing is trying to argue over what's the best way for a functional society. And Hillary Clinton's camp within the DNC has become the new Republicans because she's basically a Republican. So they're the conservative Democrats, basically. And their views more accurately line up with Republican views of
without being extreme.
Yesteryear.
Yeah.
Without being extreme.
Right.
And then the socialist Democrat Bernie Sanders, those are the new Democrats. They're espousing the more liberal views in our modern society. So really I see it as the GOP needs to be gone. They are entirely
100%.
Corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire base. 100%. And also anyone who voted for Trump, they need to have their suffrage severely looked into. Like, they need to have their suffrage audited. Because these people who voted for Trump, they've proven themselves to not be viable political voters. They do not vote with the best interests of humanity in mind, or the best interests of logic in mind.
Logic. I think that it's gotten logic to, it's completely gotten to that, lacking. Yes, logic. There you
it's
go.
It's gotten
that's
to that extreme where I see the GOP is gone, the Democratic Party gets split into two, and we got our new left and right out of the Democratic Party. Because right now, politics are swung so far right that all this talk, like you said, of, ooh, we should finish, oh, this and this, it's like, no, it's so bad, we need to go fucking nuclear. This is a problem, a big problem. Because once we get Trump out, it's never going to go away unless we deal with the infection of his supporters.
Exactly, exactly.
They're still going to be festering under the skin of America. Even if we heal over, they're always going to be waiting for their chance to do this racist, fucking, just terrible shit again to humanity. It's upsetting, and I don't know why we're coddling it. This, you don't coddle a fever. Like, if someone's dying of a fever, right? You don't sit there and be like, well, let's consider the fever's feelings. The fever wants to survive, too. It's like,
the
no.
The fever's feelings.
Yeah, the person will die if you don't eradicate the infection. Mm. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying, like, let's take up pitchforks and stuff, but let's legislate some real changes that actually make it, because right now, okay, the America is a jug, and it was designed to hold water, and it was also designed to withstand a little bit of acidification, and the water might start to eat away at the jug. But what if the water eats away the jug entirely before we get the acid out of it? That's what's happening right now. Damn it.
Well, did you see the speech by the guy who's going up against what's his butt? Ted Cruz? Beto O'Rourke?
Beto.
Or whatever? Beto? Is that how you say it? Beto?
Yep.
Did you see his little speech on whether or not to stand or kneel? Oh my gosh, that was an incredible video. The way I'll send it to you. He basically, he very passionately stood on the right of Americans supporting everyone and saying, for years, blacks have had peaceful protests and they've gotten so much heat and they've had to endure so much, but they have the right to a peaceful protest. And everyone keeps saying, well, you can't do it like that. You need to do it like this. And it's like,
and those are the people who shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Exactly.
Because they don't understand what people do for reasons.
Right. Exactly. And like, cause someone else the other day said, oh, but yes. One of the far rights, that are on my feed. They posted a meme in support of, well, if they believe so much in their cause, why weren't they kneeling in the off season? I literally was like, you posted that?
Those are the same people who say, why don't they go out and do something? It's like, no. And then look at all the charitable contributions. These guys aren't making this shit up. They're actually pouring.
Yes.
They realize that they've got an advantage and they took advantage of their advantage. And now they're actually putting more ladders down. That's what they're doing. That's why Republicans don't get it.
They're putting
Republicans
way are more ladder on the kickers. Line by doing what they're doing. Yeah.
No, Republicans know how to kick ladders down and pull them up. They don't know what helping a less fortunate person is all about. They vehemently work against that agenda. So that's why they can't fathom a person doing the right things for the right reasons and actually being a good person.
Yeah, they're thinking, oh, you need something else out of it because that's what they do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's always
end
game. Yeah.
That's why all of Trump's tweets expose the darkness in his heart, and everything that Trump has said is he's talking about himself.
I know. It's wild. I mean, he's a raging narcissist. Like, when real things of the world are happening, he's tweeting and he's come so off mark that it's like, why is anybody talking about it? It's like there was, perfect example is the whole Kendall Jenner thing. Apparently, she said some comment about the way models, like, she's very picky. She only does, like, 30 shows a year. You know, she has to be very, you know, more particular. And models are like, excuse me, some of us have to work for our opportunities, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, someone else on the show said, it's Kendall Jenner. We know that they live in their own bubble. Who cares? Move on. Stop talking about it. But people are like, there's outrage. It's like, about what? Who cares?
Well, those people have to recognize that in a world where any press is good press, that they're only giving her more ink.
I know.
by commenting.
It's
that whole troll thing.
Yeah.
You could just ignore her, and that would actually get your message across much more effectively.
Exactly,
you're part of the problem.
Yeah, that was my...
that's how the Kardashians started up anyway. Most people watch that show ironically, but that's how the show is around. People tuning in to watch a train wreck.
A train wreck? Shit.
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh, I'm talking.
That sucks.
I don't hear you talking. But I'm still recording. Where'd JC go? Where did JC go? Well, I'm sure he's ranting about something. I'll text him. He can piece together audio. It's his favorite thing to do. Fix and piece. Oh, he's texting back. Power just went out suddenly. Okay, I'll stop. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, well, I guess we found out what happens when we speak truth to power. It goes out.
It goes out.
I wish it would go out. I wish that by talking about Trump, he would go out.
He would go out.
Because that's what happened here. Speaking truth to the powers that be, not.
The Russians.
So, just to wrap this, just to put a big old bow on this thing here, because it was pretty much time to stop anyway, but that was abrupt.
That was abrupt.
Boy.
And I feel like
that
we can put
rough.
We can put a toothpick in it so it holds the whole weird sandwich together.
I mean, if you want to eat it, I feel like the toothpick is if you pick up the sandwich, but I'm just going to leave that sandwich there. So toothpick or no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to. This is a shit sandwich. I'm not even going to try to worry about it falling apart. All shit sandwiches do is fall apart, even with a toothpick or just sitting there. It's just going to fall apart.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Try to put a bow on this. Projection. We've dealt with a lot of issues here, including sexism and projection.
Sexy.
And these things. Yeah. What's wrong with being sexy? No. Sexist.
Oh.
Sexist. Okay. So, what if there were a world where women were women and men were men, except women also, in addition to what they got in their downstairs mix-up, is also they have a penis. They also have a penis. No balls. It's a penis. It's basically like, it's fully functional for the most part. But it's just that women have a vagina and a penis. And then so it's like, hey, everyone has a penis. Okay, think about that universe. Where basically, if that were the case.
Everybody's a hermaphrodite. Got it.
Well, no, just women. So where everybody has a penis. And so the women are to a certain extent hermaphroditic, but their penis isn't as functional. The point is there's a physicality to it where the line between gay and straight disappears. Because everyone has a penis. So enjoying a penis is not something that defines heterosexuality. Okay, so there's the universe that alternate universe. Say someone, and so we're going to call the women boob dudes in this universe, of course. So we got the boob dudes and the dudes, because I don't like women. It's got men right in there, so I like a boob dude. It's much more respectable.
Yeah.
So, say someone from our universe went to that universe, and we have all the homophobia and gay people and trans people, and we got this whole crazy mess going on with sexuality. But if you went to that universe where sexuality was so generalized and there was no real line between it because of the simple addition of adding penises to women.
Penis.
Very simple. Yep, these boob dudes. that they would begin to instantly appear as an usurper or an outsider in this universe. That's how psychological projection works. If you exit our universe and go into such a universe, your perception of that universe would be so foreign that you would project an air of homophobia even if you were straight and everything was cool. You would see all these women with penises, and you would start to act weird, and you start to have even straight gay thoughts. Like, our universe just does not know how to handle that. So that's how psychological projection works. You enter into a universe that is wholly foreign to you, and you begin to inadvertently project your own insecurities in this world.
Well, so people do there's do so that. Much you're right, yeah.
There's so much diversity within people that it's that's why they don't understand. That's why Trump thinks that by calling himself a stable genius makes people think that he's a stable genius.
But, all you gotta do is say it.
Well, no, the point is that he thinks that. He thinks that he comes from a world where he's very stupid, but he thinks he's smart.
I
and
know.
He thinks by telling us that he's smart that he looks smart, but he's talking to a world with smart people in it.
So I got a good brain.
He's projecting his own intelligence on the world, which isn't there, but he's projecting it. That's
he also does that with his wealth. If you just say that you're rich, people believe it. But if we actually looked at his financials, he owes millions to other companies. It's
we don't need to break it down that much. That's what Trump is. He is projection in its entirety. That's why it's so relevant.
Yeah.
That's why this metaphor is where we land, because Trump represents, like a troll represents attention, Trump represents impotent psychological projection. Impotent.
Impotent
and impotent.
Yeah.
Impudent. narcissistic projection. Trump, that's just what he is, as well as representing dishonesty and Russia to equal effects. He didn't collude with Russia. He is Russia. He's been financially backed by Russia for decades because no respectable business person in America will do business with them. Banks
won't
loan him money.
If they thought they could benefit from it, people.
No, that was back in the 80s and 90s. But since then, they do business. But the point is, he doesn't have money. He has debt.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And all of his financing comes from Russia because he has American debt. No one in America who's legitimate will fund him or do business. And the more he screws people over, the less people will do. But Trump is just going to die alone, slumped over in a corner in a jail cell one day, because he's going to make enemies out of the cockroaches at the end, and no one's going to talk to him.
Even the cockroaches are like, me, and turn around, and their cute little antenna. They can be cute.
He'll have a contingent of cockroaches for a short period of time in jail, but because their reproduction cycle is so much quicker, it'll last about 3-4 hours, and then they'll all turn on him. The rats, too.
Rats are smart.
Psychologically projecting penises onto boob dudes. That's where we're at.
That's it. I knew we needed to end with that. I knew that.
Mm-hmm. It's the only place to end. This is the end.
That's the strong
one.
Yeah,
that's finishing strong. Good. Good then. All right, let's shut this down. 3, 2, 1.
Yes.